Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 13. Acts chapter number 13, if you have your Bibles, hope you'll open up and follow along with us. So we begin to look at the verses 1 through 13. For those of you in Justice class, you ought to be very familiar with the book of Acts by now. And so hopefully, maybe I can tell you something you haven't heard. I doubt it, but we'll do what we can to try to help you with that. But this passage in chapter 13 marks a different direction in the way Acts is going. And Justin can let me know if I get this right, since he's been teaching. By the way, those who don't know, he's been teaching Acts in Sunday school for some time. The first 12 chapters in the book of Acts revolves around Peter, and the rest of the book focuses on the ministry of the Apostle Paul. The chapter opens in the city of Antioch, which by some had become the hub of the ministry for the early church. The Jewish believers had been forced out of Jerusalem by persecution, and Antioch had become the new headquarters for the church. In that church, there were several prophets and teachers that was there, and several of them are named here in this passage of Scripture. I'll not take time to read the entire Scripture for sake of time, but you can follow along. You can see them in verse 1 as we go through it, and we're going to talk about some of those men that are there. But I'm going to speak to you today on the salvation of Sergius Paulus. I wonder today, if I ask you to raise your hand, how many of you would have known who Sergius Paulus is? You said, where does he live? Well, I would think that probably most people would think that maybe it was somebody local that got saved. But actually, Sergius Paulus is in the Word of God. I guess perhaps this is the first time I've ever preached on him in all my ministry. I've read it many times. But even again, as I was reading it and getting ready to preach today, I ran across the name and I saw the interest that was there. And so today I want to share that with you. But before I do, I want to share with you some of the other names that are there. The Bible said in verse 13, now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Treachyard, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together today. And Lord, I do pray now that you would help us as we open the Word of God. And Lord, today as we look, I believe that every passage of Scripture, every word in the Bible is inspired of God. And Lord, I believe this is a great example of a man that truly got born again. He put his faith and trust in the Lord. And Lord, today that's what we're here for, is to go out into the highways and into the hedges and to the neighborhoods and compel people and encourage them to put their faith and trust in the Lord. The Bible surely teaches us that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And Lord, again today we want to be doing all we can to get everybody we can saved by the grace of God and on their way to heaven. And Lord, today I pray you'd open our eyes, our ears, our hearts to be receptive to the truth. Well, thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray, amen. As we come to the passage of Scripture, and I begin to read the names that I just read to you, I'm encouraged because, listen, when you find a group of men like what I just read, we know we're in good company. We know these are men that had the power of God and the Spirit of God upon them. And would I not go any further without saying to you today, if we're going to be successful in anything we do, we better do it with the power and the presence of God upon our life as we go out and try to witness to those around about us. I come to the first name that is there, Barnabas. Barnabas truly is a man's name that appears in the book of Acts. He was a teacher of truth, but he was known as an encourager of others. You see, people like Barnabas, they're good to be around. I like people that encourage me. Some folks say, how you doing? And they say, do you have time? Or they begin to tell you all the problems that they have. And before you leave, you feel worse than they do. And yet, we like to get around people. Now, I've been around some that kind of go the other way and get so much, that I really wonder if it's real. But I tell you, I love to be around people that have encouraging words to say and encourage you. And Barnabas was that type of a fellow. There was another man mentioned here. His name was Simeon, that was called Niger, was there also. I believe perhaps that he was a black man from Africa. Many scholars think that he's the man that carried the cross for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know today why we serve God and there's all kind of things we want to do for him, but yet today, can you imagine to have been the one? And listen, that would not have been necessarily a treat, because knowing that Christ was going to die on that cross, but at least for a period of time, he was able to give him some relief along the way. And so we see here that Simon of Cyrene, if it's true, he not only that, but he carried the gospel back with him. And among those who were saved through his witness were his own sons, Rufus and Alexander, according to Mark chapter 15 and verse 21. Rufus is also mentioned in Romans 16 and 31. So we find here Simon, the Cyrenian, he was not only perhaps the bearer of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was a gospel witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And truly today, that ought to be our job. Then we find another name mentioned, Lucius of Cyrene. He's mentioned with those around Antioch. And also, he came to faith through the witness of Simeon. Then we find another man here. If you'll see in the latter part of verse 1, if I can say this right, Manaen, I guess is how I would pronounce it. Manaen is also mentioned. And notice what it says about him. It says Manaen here, he was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. So when we read that, we understand that he was raised in that same house. Herod was a murderer, but Manaen became a missionary. And now we find him with a group of men. That shows you the power of God to change lives and to turn people around and get them on the right track. I think a lot of people often say to me, they say, "Preacher, it's too late." Can I remind you, it's never too late. As long as you got breath in your body, as long as you're breathing, there's still time for you to put your faith and trust in the Lord and not only do that, but become a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. The last name that is mentioned there is the name Saul. Now, we know Saul better as Paul, but we know that Saul was a persecutor of the Christians. In fact, if you go back, and it's up until this time, I believe, when the tables begin to turn, we've been reading about Peter, and we've been reading also about Saul. If you go to chapter 9, you'll see what transpired on the road to Damascus as Saul was struck down. And God changed his life. And not only did God change Paul's life, but Paul changed the world's life because literally he turned the early world upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is. Paul was a very intelligent Jewish Pharisee. And the church obeyed him. Look, and the Bible said they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for a work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. So here we find now Paul, that we know him as Paul, and Barnabas immediately left Antioch, and they went to a place called Seleucia. Look at verse 4. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Now when they arrived at Cyprus, there was a town there called Salamis, and they preached the gospel in the synagogues. Look at verse 5. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Now, I want you to understand, we're told that they had a John with them that went with them to minister. The word minister literally means in the Greek an under rower. The John referred to is John Mark. He went with them to serve with them and to help them with the ministry. And so here they are going out, preaching the word of God. They're going through Cyprus, and eventually they arrive at a little village or a place or a town or however it is. Not sure how large it is, but it was called Paphos. Paphos was a town on the west coast of Cyprus, and it was a rebound for the temple of the goddess Venus. Now, friend, today I don't want to go into a great deal of detail, but I'm telling you, the worship of the goddess Venus was very immoral. It was very wrong, but yet many people were caught up in it. Venus was called the Roman goddess. The Greeks called her Aphrodite. The ancient Canaanites called her Astarte. Worship at this temple, listen, involved people having sexual relations with temple prostitutes. People traveled from all over the Roman Empire to worship in the temple in the island of Cyprus. This place, what I'm trying to help you understand, was a place that was it was full of sin, and it was dedicated to this goddess. And by the way, I believe a lot of times when you see people that do this kind of worship, all they're doing it for is their only self-gratification. They're not interested in the real God. And by the way, there's only one real God, and that's the God that we serve today. But that brings me to my text. That was a long introduction, but I'll get right to the point this morning. We find that when he got to Paphos, he found a man, or actually, could I say, Sergius found him, and here was a man that wanted to know what he needed to do to be saved. Now, understand, Sergius Paulus, he had some great obstacles to overcome because the goddess Venus was there, and all that was going on, and anything that he do would upset the apple cart for what was going on in that place. But this begins to highlight the problems that we face with the gospel. I don't believe there's ever been a day when it's harder to present the gospel than it is today. But might I add, there's no excuse to give up or to quit or say there's no use in doing it anymore. God still commands us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And friend, when we do what God calls us to do, then we have to depend on God to do what He said He would do. And by the way, He said His word would never return void. And we must plant the seed of the gospel everywhere we go. So I want to look at some lessons today about the salvation of Sergius Paulus. As we know, sharing the lost to the gospel is not easy, but we are commanded to do it. But notice, if you would, in verse 7, here's the man's name as he's introduced to us. And the Bible said in verse 7, we talk about it. Well, let me go back to verse 6. And when they'd gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. Now, we'll get to him in a minute. But again, that was not the highlight of the trip. But yet they met him, and notice what he said, which was with the deputy of the country, whose name, we find, was Sergius Paulus. The Bible said he was a prudent man, and he called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of the Lord. I tell you today, I go back in my life in ministry. I remember my early ministry. I remember when I was the first church I ever pastored. I remember people getting saved. And we had a lot of people get saved. But honestly, I stand here today, and I don't take any credit for that. It was all God, because literally, I had people coming to me wanting to get saved. I had people coming to me wanting me to go with them to help get somebody else saved. And I tell you, it was the most fruitful ministry that I've ever had, and it was the most joyous ministry. But I'll be honest with you, in all the years past, I can't remember that happening very often or occasion when it might have happened. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing when people recognize the need and seek out the way of salvation. And so we find Sergius here as he comes together. I like that name. That's kind of different, isn't it? But the name Sergius, and so we find, first of all, his work. The Bible said he was the deputy in Paphos. Now, literally, what that means, he was the governor of that area. He represented all the power of the Roman law, and he was a very powerful man and a very prosperous man. You know, today, I wish we could say, and I want you to know today, it makes no difference who you are. No matter how much money you got or where you live, Jesus died for you. But you know, it's a wonderful thing. Most of the time, when people are wealthy and have power and position and prestige, they see no need for God. But yet, it's wonderful that here they were doing what God had called him to do, and here was a man, and his work was to be the governor and over that place, all the wickedness that was going on there, and he sends for Paul and Barnabas to come and tell him what it is they're saying. The Bible said that he had wisdom. He was a prudent man. That means he was intelligent. He was very wise. He was a learned man. He was an understanding man. You know, some of the smartest people in the world have the hardest time in the world understanding the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've had people tell me, oh, preacher, it can't be that easy. Surely there's more to it than that. Oh, I'm telling you, Jesus made it easy because he wanted everyone to have an opportunity to be saved. It's a wonderful thing. Here's a smart man, and the Bible says, if we read in verse number 6, that he had a man with him, and his name was Bar-Jesus. Now, again, we think about that, but notice what it said about him. He was a sorcerer and a false prophet. I tell you, sometimes when you go to witness to people, you want to be careful who's with them when you begin to witness to them. Because there can be some people like Bar-Jesus there that don't want them to hear the truth, and they'll do everything they can to cause you not to be able to give it. But yet it seems that Lord Jesus was a man that was very charismatic, and no doubt he had an influence on Sergius, but yet I don't believe Sergius was a man that could not think for himself, and I believe we see that in the passage of Scripture. But what is it that he wanted? He desired to hear the Word of God. I tell you today, I don't know why you came this morning, but I hope you came to hear the Word of God. Friend, I tell you, there's nothing else any more important today that I'll say or do. And I tell you, I've made announcements and I've given prayer requests and I've talked about activities, and all those things are secondary. But the primary thing is today we came to hear the Word of God. And here's a man that's a governor, and here he is. He desired to hear the Word of God. Literally, not only he desired, but I believe the word that is given there is he demanded to have the Word preached to him. I've not had too many people call me. I remember years ago, I've told the story before, had a highway patrolman down in Florida. Became a good friend of mine. Things were different back then. He used to pick me up on Saturday night, and I'd ride with him, and he'd run down speeders. And about 12 o'clock, he'd take me down to the jailhouse, and he'd wake them all up, and he'd take me back there. He'd say, "Preach to them, preacher." And I tell you, sometimes they weren't real anxious to see me at 12 o'clock at night. I guess they was glad to see anybody. And I was grateful, but I tell you what, it was the highway patrolman that wanted me to preach the word. Usually wasn't them, but I thank God for the opportunity I had to preach. Now, obviously, Sergius had some problems. Is there anybody here this morning that don't have any problems? Is anybody here this morning that's not going through some kind of a trial or a difficulty or a sickness or a heartache? But you see, he had tried, no doubt, religion. This Roman temple and this goddess Venus, it was religion. But he wanted to hear the gospel for himself. I don't want to hear what everybody else says. I want to hear what these men say. And he just reminds us that even when we don't understand, God is still working. I tell you, when we go out visiting, we don't go in our own power, at least I hope not. And we may go out and not have a single prospect or see anybody that we feel like we've helped, but we never know what God is doing in the background, preparing the hearts of people. I mentioned this week going to the hospital and visiting a lady. Somebody asked me to go see. Got to know her. We found out I knew her a little bit. Didn't know her well. Actually went to school with her. We had some good fellowship and talked, and she assured me she was saved. Gave me a good testimony of her salvation. But I tell you today, we need to understand God's interested in everybody, and he wants everybody to be saved. I believe this is illustrated in the Lord's parable of the Great Supper in Luke 14. When the people had been invited to the supper and refused to attend, the master told the servants, he said, "Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind." The servants obeyed, and they went with their master to tell him that there was no room at the supper for more. So he commanded, "Go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to tell them there was room at the supper." So he commanded them, "Go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house might be filled." I tell you, old Sergius, I like that name. I tell you, old Sergius, he had a desire to hear the Word of God. I tell you, I love to be around people that want to hear the Word of God. I tell you, I like people that like preaching. I like people that make no difference how the simplicity of it is. They like it and what it does. But the next thing we notice about Sergius was not only his desire, but that fella that hung around with him was a distraction. His name was Bar-Jesus. And Bar-Jesus, his presence proved to be a distraction to Sergius. Bar-Jesus was the tool of Satan to try to convince Sergius Paulus to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you today, Bar-Jesus could be here this morning. And I'm not talking about anybody individually. I hope not. But he could be here today in the person of the devil. I guarantee you the devil's here this morning as much as God will let him be. And I tell you today, I want the Spirit of God to be so powerful that he wouldn't feel comfortable here and he'd get out of here. But he may be on your shoulder this morning telling you that what I'm saying is not true. But I'm here to report to you today, it's true because it's the God-breathed Word of God. The men all desire it. The man of distraction, Lord Jesus. Now the name means Son of Jesus. We're told that he was a Jew. Very plainly the scripture says he was a sorcerer, which means he was a magician. He's called Bar-Jesus by Luke. The word literally refers to a wizard. Now, since the Word of God forbidded the Jews to practice sorcery, how do you think he felt when Paul and Barnabas showed up to preach the Word of God? You see, back in the old days, when people got saved, the idol makers, the people that made idols they worshipped, they were angry because it put them out of business. And I tell you, if people got saved and this world turned upside down for Jesus Christ, you'd see liquor dry up, you'd see dope go away, you'd see people's lives begin to be changed by the Word of God. And although it may be seem to be an impossibility that would ever happen, I tell you, I've seen it happen on an individual basis in people's lives day by day. And yet, Lord Jesus said, we don't want any of this man. I tell you today, he was a false prophet. He was dangerous. And by the way, anybody that tells you, in fact, if somebody tells you you need the Word of God, they're your friend. And if somebody tells you you don't need the Word of God, they're your enemy. You better get away from them as quick as you can. And yet, Bar-Jesus used lies, manipulation, and pagan superstition to control all men the way that he wanted them to be. The method of his distraction. As the gospel was preached to Sergius Paulus, we're told that Bar-Jesus withstood them. Look, if you would, there in the Bible as we go on and begin to read. He goes on to say, but Elias the sorcerer, for so his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn the deputy away from faith. Paul and Barnabas was preaching the truth. No, he was sitting there whispering in their ear, don't listen to them. He tried to persuade them any way he could. I'm telling you today, people will lie to you. But I want to tell you, Jesus is real. And God's still in the soul-saving business. And one day we're going to spend eternity one place or the other. We better listen to the man of God and the Word of God. The menace of his distraction. The Bible says that he was seeking to turn away the deputy from faith. You know, when I think about that, how sad it is today. The man had one goal. He wanted to prevent Sergius or Jesus from getting saved. I've seen couples where the husband was saved, or maybe the husband was lost and the wife was saved. The illustration, two people are they're lost, both of them, okay, couple. You go in and witness to one and the husband's about to get saved, but the wife don't want to get saved. Now, why in the world would a wife not want him to get saved? Because it'll change their lifestyle. It'll change the way they live. It'll change the way they go. It can work the other way around too. Friend, I tell you, all the ladies I know that husbands aren't saved, they'd give anything in the world to see them saved. And all the husbands whose wives are not saved, I believe would give anything in the world to see them get saved. Because salvation, yes, it changes your life. But I'm going to tell you, this life down here is nothing compared to what eternity is going to be. Separated from God. If the light of the gospel was ever to shine through to Sergius, Bar-Jesus would lose his place of position. He'd lose his place of power. In fact, he'd just be done in for. So he wanted to keep Sergius Paulus in the dark place. He wanted to keep him in a dark place. You see, the powers of darkness always are eager to influence those who rule. The Bible said in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Bar-Jesus kind of reminds me of members of cults that teach false truth. There's people today that will tell you that the only way you can go to heaven is keep the Ten Commandments. They're lying to you, friend, because we can't keep the Ten Commandments. Some people today tell you, well, all you got to do is join the church. I tell you, you can join the church 1,000 times, but if you don't put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, repent of your sins and call on his name, you're going to die in your sin. And I'm going to tell you, I say that, and you said, preacher, you say that all the time, because I still hear people preaching that truth. I have been places and heard people say, oh, you just need to join the church. You need to be baptized. And I'm going to tell you something, baptism is important, and if you're not baptized after you save, you're disobedient to Christ. And God can never bless you and use you the way he wants to. But baptism will never get a single soul to heaven. It comes through repentance of faith. This passage also reminds us sharing the gospel with the lost is not an academic exercise. We don't go out soul winning to try to give a successful sales pitch. We're not trying to sell them on anything. We're trying to give them eternal life that only Jesus can give. Leading someone to Jesus is an all-out war against the powers of hell. I don't know how many times that I have been and tried to witness to people, whether it be at home. And I tell you, one of the biggest problems in the home is that thing called the television that some people don't want to let go of it even for a moment to listen to you. And I tell you, even if you get it down, somebody else will come in right in the middle of what you're saying and turn it back up. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen the devil work time and time again. You go to a hospital room, try to witness somebody in the hospital room, and all of a sudden 25 nurses will show up, and they want blood pressure, they want temperature, they want everything. I tell you, I've seen the devil work over and over again. But listen, Lord Jesus did not want surgeons to come to Christ, and he did everything in his power to maintain hold over him. And the devil will do everything he can to maintain a hold over you, except you repent of your sins. And lastly, Sergius Paulus and his deliverance. About time, we about just ought to have a shouting spell right here. I did. This ain't one of them sad stories where I have to tell you that Lord Jesus won. Listen, the Bible said in verse number 9, then Saul, who is called Paul, and here's the key, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. And he said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thy child of the devil. Now I'm going to be honest with you. Most people wouldn't be real receptive to somebody talking to them that way. But if you're filled with the Spirit of God, go ahead. God will take care of them. He said, thou enemy of all righteousness. Brother, he didn't cull his words. People go to church, they say, I don't like it. That preacher said something, made me mad. Listen, if it's the Word of God, it ought to make you mad if you're not living right. Thou hast not ceased to pervert the right of the ways of the Lord. And I believe as he turned to him, he saw it. He said, now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. Thou shalt be blind. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it involved the man of God. I just want you to know it involved a missionary. Somebody said, who's the greatest missionary you know? I believe Paul was the greatest missionary I know. I'll tell you today, some great missionaries, and we're going to have one tonight. I love missionaries, and I believe God blessed our church because of missionaries. But I tell you, it took a man that was willing to go. Never underestimate the power of a personal witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't think they'd listen to me, preacher. Who am I? I'm just a housewife. Who am I? I'm just a little girl. I'm just a little boy. I tell you, sometimes it takes a little girl or a little boy or just a housewife to reach somebody that a preacher or a missionary might not be able to reach. They'll just be willing to be used. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:19 and 20, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then are we ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray by God, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. I tell you, I'm an ambassador. Somebody said, man, ambassador, boy, they're big shots. Listen, if you're an ambassador for Christ, you are a big shot in his eyes. It might not be in nobody else's. But his preachers have been given the message to preach the word of reconciliation. We're to go in the world and preach the message, the good news that Christ died for our sin. Every believer today should be involved in evangelism. Second thing, note, Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost. That reminds us that Paul did nothing apart from the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, this was not Paul preaching. This was God preaching through him. And I'm going to tell you something. I pray every day when I stand here that it's not me preaching. I want God to preach through me. And I'm sure that I failed him many times. But I tell you, it's my desire today. I have nothing to say to you except what God will say through me. And that's the way Paul felt. We're controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's what being filled means. He'll give us the words to say. He'll help us to say them. And we need his power in order to win others to Christ. You see, this teaches us the Spirit is God. It's not us that's doing the saving. Don't ever say, Gary Holland saved me, because I've never saved anybody. Somebody said, somebody at the church saved me. No. Listen, the only person that ever saved you, if you're saved, was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, something very interesting happened. I'm a little jealous, because God has never let me do the thing that just happened in just a moment that I'm going to share with you. But Paul was trying to get his attention. He was very forceful with him, and he told him the truth. And then notice what Paul said, speaking to Bar Jesus, and now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness. And he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. You know, it's interesting. God don't work the way he did in the Old Testament, the New Testament. We don't see his power like that. I tell you what, honestly, if God would come back to doing some of that, I tell you, we might see the house of God begin to get filled. You remember Ananias and Sapphira? They just lied to the Holy Ghost, and they dropped dead right where they were. All of a sudden, old Bar-Jesus, he ain't interested in trying to tell Sergius what he needs to do. He's interested in trying to find somebody to lead him around because he can't see. My, it involved a miracle. This was a great miracle that was harkened back to Paul's conversion. You remember in Acts chapter 9, what happened? The Bible said when Paul or Saul was struck down, that God blinded him. And he used that blindness and hoping that blindness maybe would help Bar-Jesus to see the errors in his life and to cause him to turn to Christ. Whether he did or not, we don't know. But it's interesting to note that Paul did not preach the gospel directly to Bar-Jesus. In fact, we don't see anywhere where he literally turned to him. I'm not sure why. He may have thought, you know, maybe there was no use in it. Sometimes you can just tell that even though there's somebody there, they're not going to listen. They're set in their ways. But I know one thing. I'm not sure whether Bar-Jesus would become a believer or not. But he sure had an experience like no one would like to have. But I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't the miracle. It was the message. And I'm going to tell you today, honestly, we in our society today, we want to see a sign. Lord, show me this. Show me that. Lord, if you'll do this, if you'll do this and this. I had a man yesterday at the funeral came to me and he said, I told the Lord if he'd let me retire from my job, I'd serve him the rest of my life. I tell you, you need to be serving the rest of your life before you retire. But yet today, we kind of make all kind of deals with God. But notice when Sergius Paulus saw the miracle, the Bible said that he believed. And then the Bible said, verse 12, then the deputy, Sergius, when he saw what was done, he believed. But wait a minute, did he believe because Bar-Jesus was blind? No. Look at the next phrase. Being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Friend, today, seeing miracles, you know what? People will line up for some faith healer that says he can heal you all day long. Everybody wants to be healed. But I tell you, you sure can't get people to line up to serve Jesus and to be faithful to him and do what he would have you to do. But the Bible said that he was astonished. That word means to strike one in his mind, to cause astonishment or amazes. So when Sergius Paulus heard the gospel, I believe it shook him to the very core of his foundation. I don't know about you, but I remember the day I got saved. I remember the effect the Word of God had on me that day. It shook me, and I tell you, I couldn't wait to get to the preacher to get him to show me how to be saved. And I tell you, thank God today when you hear the Word of God, that's what convicts you, brings you to the place where you need to be. God will honor His Word and save sinners by His grace. The Bible said in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, or the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." I've heard of people having people break in their house and have a gun and going to shoot them, and them witnessing to them, telling about Christ, and they not shooting them. And maybe even some have made professions of faith. I don't know that happens every time, but I guarantee you it's just as powerful as any gun. It's just as powerful as anything you might have. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us to which are saved, it is the power of God." In 1 Corinthians 1:21, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Now, the gospel is not foolishness. Me preaching it is what's foolish. Had a fellow yesterday at the funeral. I find a lot of things out when I do funerals, especially with friends that I've known from way back. He lives in South Carolina. He came for the funeral. He said, "Man, I couldn't believe when I saw that reverend in front of your name." And I said, "Only by the grace of God." And I said, I can't believe it either. But thank God he changed my life. We don't know what happened after that to Sergius Paulus. We just know he met Jesus. But I think it's the same to say that this man who was so disillusioned by religion and power of Rome was forever changed by meeting Paul and hearing the gospel. We're living in a world today that is trapped in darkness of sin. The only thing we have to offer them is the gospel of Jesus Christ. People stand and they need money. Calls come in all the time. "Will you help us pay our electric bill? Will you help us pay our rent? Will you help us with food?" We try to help those we can. But friend, we can only help them so much if we give them the gospel. Yesterday, and I'm convicted about this, I really feel bad. I was kind of running in a hurry yesterday to get to the funeral. I had to go by Billy Garbutt's mother's visitation. I had to get to the visitation I was going to, and I came out of Whataburger, and I'd already talked to a lady inside, and she was standing outside with a man talking to him. And I come out the door, and he said, "Preacher, would you," he said, "please pray for me. I'm going through some difficult times." And I stopped, and I had prayer with him. And I prayed for God to help him, and I got in my car and left. And I told Susan this morning, you know, it hit me after I was about halfway down to the church that, you know, that man probably needed Christ. I probably could have took him back inside and led him to Christ. I was in a hurry, but shouldn't have been in that big a hurry. I think it would have been more important. But yet, maybe God will give us an opportunity. I invited him. He told me he would come. But you know, maybe you have people in your heart today that need to hear the gospel. There's somebody that's trying to lead them wrong. There's somebody that's telling them that what we're telling them is not the truth. I can simply say today, if they are, they're telling a lie. This is the truth of the Word of God. And I tell you what a great day, the day that Sergius Paulus trusted Christ, came and believed on him. And when he saw what was done, he believed. He was astonished at the doctrine. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Paphania, and John departing from them returned to Jerusalem. I believe today that this man got saved because Paul had the power to tell him about Jesus. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity and the privilege. Lord, I thank you that there was a man that was willing to hear. I thank you there was a man that was willing to tell. Thank you, Lord, that there was a man that God shut his mouth so that he couldn't have an influence upon the message. And Father, today I pray. I pray for your power, your presence, but Lord, I pray most of all for you to speak to hearts right now. Lord, I don't know, but if there's anyone here today that does not know Christ as their Savior, Jesus said today is the day of salvation. How sad it is to come to the end of life and not know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we've been born again by the Spirit of God. Have your will and way, we pray, in Jesus' name.